I constantly am talking with people and I know they're making mistakes. I know that what they're doing, the path they're heading down, is not the right path. I can encourage or I can judge. I can love or I can judge. I can be understanding or I can judge. And my point here today is that we need to be more loving towards those who are in sin, who are going down the wrong path, or who have been in sin than any other time. When I was 16 years old, I was working at a department store called Belk's. They have one right up the road over here, but it was not like the Belk's over here. The one I worked at was a lot nicer and it was a lot bigger. I loved it. I was 16 years old and I was surrounded by other 16-year-old girls. It was the perfect job for me. They did not have me on the floor. I was not presentable enough to be on the floor. They put me in the stock room, but that's okay. I had to bring stock out of the stock room, and I got to talk to the ladies while I was out. It was great. And then one day, they brought in another guy, and he was to be trained by me. His name was Stan Sprouse, and I can remember looking at him for the very first time and deciding that I did not like that guy. I don't know what it was about him that I didn't like. I just knew that I didn't want to be his friend, but I had to train him, so I trained him. And then it was time for dinner. And I said, "Stan, do you have anything for dinner?" He says, "No, I don't have anything for dinner. I'll just go sit in the break room and wait for you to get back." And I said, "Come on, Stan. I'll take you and buy you a hamburger at Wendy's." And that was the beginning of a friendship that has lasted years and years. To this day, Stan Sprouse and I are good friends. He's the guy that I will call when I get put in jail. And I'm the guy that he will call when he gets put in jail. No questions asked. We've already made that determination. Now, hopefully neither one of us will get put in jail, but the reason why I'm telling you that is because we have it in our minds to judge people without knowing anything about them. And we as Christians, we as disciples who make disciples, need to understand that relationships are so important. And one of the things that kills relationships is our judgmental attitudes. Everybody has them. Jason and I were talking about this last night, about how we tend to judge people without really knowing what's going on in their life. And the scripture is clear that we are not to be judgmental people. Now, Vicki Green and I were talking some time ago. We were discussing the fact that, you know, there's a lot of people on the side of the road who are holding up signs for money and what to do about it. And we're not going to get into all of that today. But one of the things I said is that's not judging somebody. That's discerning whether or not they deserve your help. And so however you do that, that's fine with me. I'm not going to worry about it. You're all doing it all for the glory of the Lord, I hope. And if you're doing that, right or wrong, you're going to be okay. So we have to be able to discern certain things. And we can look at certain things and we can judge that they're wrong. But being judgmental towards people is not what God wants. The very first book that was written to new Christians is the book of James. And in the book of James, he starts off talking about people who are judgmental towards the rich and towards the poor. And then over here in chapter 4, he talks about why we shouldn't judge. Because what he says in there, we are playing God when we judge others. We are playing God when we judge others. And one of the ways that Satan tempted Adam and Eve is he told them, "You will be like God if you eat of this fruit." And the reality of it is since then, man has always been tempted to play God. So why do we like to judge others? Well, the first reason is we can excuse our own faults. I can judge others. I can be judgmental towards others, and I can excuse my own faults because I can say I am not as bad as they are. Because all of us know that we have faults, and all of us know that we have weaknesses, and all of us know that we have issues in our lives. But when I spend my time looking at John Love over here, he's on the front row, so he's going to get picked on today. When I spend my time looking at John Love and his faults, I don't have to spend time looking at my faults. So I'm not as bad as they are. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 3. So when you, a mere man, passes judgment on them, yet do the same thing, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? The second reason why we do it is it appeals to our pride. So the first one is it excuses my faults, and it means that I am not as bad as John is. But the second thing it does is it says, I am better than John. Because I have judged John and I am better than him. And there's two ways that all of us judge people. We do it one of two ways. We do it, number one, we do it internally. And all of us make judgments about people no matter where we are. We have to make some kind of judgment every day about people. So most of us do our judging internally. But then there's the other way that we do judging, and that is through gossip. And that is one of the things that I think that most of us struggle with in the church today is gossip, because we want to talk about what other people have done, and we don't want to look at what we do. Proverbs writer in 22 says, the words of a gossip are like choice morsel. They go down into the man's innermost parts. And then Proverbs 26:22, gossip is so tasty, we love to swallow it. So many people just want to talk bad about others. They want to go to people and they want to do it. But we shouldn't judge others. And the reason why we shouldn't judge others is because, number one, it is un-Christian. It is un-Christian. I want you to write that down. It is un-Christian to judge others. And the reason why I say that is because there are a lot of people who are Christians who are going around judging others, and they're doing it, and here's how they do it. I know I shouldn't talk about this, but I'm concerned. And they put that Christianese that I'm concerned. Or I've been praying over this person, and this person's got a problem in their life. Well, that is un-Christian. Look at what it says here. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. Second thing, it's unloving. It's unloving when we judge others. And one of the things that I've been trying to get across to you is people want to know that you love them. First of all, before anything else happens, the number one thing people want to know when they meet you, when they have a relationship with you, is they want to know that they are loved. The second thing they want to know is, can you be trusted? And when you judge others, you cannot be trusted. One of the greatest compliments that I have received lately is somebody came to me and they told me some things, and I said, well, why did you think that you should tell me this stuff? I'm trying to keep it vague as to who said it, because I don't want you to figure it out. But they said, I came to you to tell you these things because I trust that you will not judge me. And that is the most significant thing they could have said to me. But they said when they left, they appreciated me loving them. Those two questions right there brought them to the third question, which is, can you help me? So in all of that, it's very unloving. We first judge and then we love. That's what we do with people. We first judge and then we love. And what we should do is we should love before we ever judge, and we will never get to that. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. James 2:8. If you really keep the royal law found in the Scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself, underline these words, you are doing right. You know, we know that passage. We know that we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. But when we truly do that, that's when we're doing right. When we look at everybody that we come in contact with, no matter how we feel about them, if we look at them with love, we are doing what is right. Now, there are some people in my life, and I call them EGR members. And that's an extra grace required member. There are people in this congregation, they're young in their faith, or they're just not figuring it out very quick, and they just need some extra grace. But you need to understand that those extra grace members are the people that you need to love. And sometimes they're the hard ones to love. But when you love them as yourself, then you are doing right. Not when I'm judging them, but when I'm loving them. And number three, it's unjustified. I love the way it says, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, and underline these words, who are you? I remember my dad used to say that all the time when he was talking to me, and he was like, who do you think you are? And I would, in my mind, because I didn't want to get slapped, I would say, my name is Howard Neal Farr II. That's who I am. I was sassy in my mind, not outside, because I'm still alive today. But sometimes we need to think about the fact, who are you? Jason and I were having a great conversation last night over dinner. We got a chance to spend some time together. And one of the things Jason's told me, and Jason, I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but Jason and I both agree we've got the same issue. We get upset sometimes by the way other people drive. Now, I know it's only Jason and I that ever get upset about that. The rest of you have halos on your heads right now. And Jason said to me, he says, you know, I get upset and then I think I have done the same thing before. Have you ever been upset because somebody wouldn't turn on their signal? Yeah. Have you ever been upset because somebody pulled over in your lane and drove slower than you were driving? Well, you've all done the same thing. And when you get upset, you need to just think to yourself, who am I? I've done the same thing. Well, when is it wrong to judge others? There's times where I think it's okay to judge others, but you don't judge them, you judge their action. And it's okay to say something is wrong or you did something wrong. It's okay to go to somebody and say, you hurt my feelings by saying this. But when you dismiss them and you put judgment on them, when is that wrong? Well, first of all, it's wrong when I'm practicing the same sin. It's wrong when I'm practicing the same sin. I can look at the sin of others and say, hey, you shouldn't do that. That's wrong. You shouldn't do that. But how many times have I looked at my own life and said, this is my sin? One of the things that we should be doing when we're doing communion is we should be examining ourselves. And I think most of us, when we think about examining ourselves, we think, I'm okay with others. I'm okay with God. I don't have to think about that anymore. I'm going to partake of communion and I'm going to be done with it. But the reality of it is we should take some time and seriously think about who we are and what we've done in our life and the ways that we fall short. It says in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 and 3, you therefore have no excuse, you who have passed judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge others, you are condemning yourselves because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Think about that for a moment. It's real easy to look at somebody and say they're a gossip and forget about the times that you've gossiped. It's real easy to look at somebody and say they lied and forget about the times that you may have lied. My grandmother had a thing that she says, never point a finger at anyone else, because when you point a finger, you have three others pointing back at you. So we went around and said, they're doing this. We were smart aleck kids. I kid you not. We were so smart aleck. Jan Blackwell's down here. He's shaking his head, amening to that, because he was one of those kids too. All right, number two. We don't want to judge other when it blinds me to my own weaknesses. We don't want to judge others when it blinds me to my own weaknesses. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? Now we look at that and we think, well, you know, that's a funny thing to think about, a big old plank sticking out of somebody's eye and I'm trying to take a speck out of John's eyes. But we do it all the time. We need to learn to look at ourselves first. We need to understand where people are coming from before we try to remove the speck out of their eyes. If there is anyone in this audience today that has got it all together, see me after church, because I'll fix you. None of us have it all together. None of us. I have not gotten it all together. As a matter of fact, the older I get, the more I find I have not gotten to where I need to be. And one of the things that I was talking to my father about not too long ago was the fact that he's still learning. He's in his 80s and all. And he says, you know, Neil, I wish I had known this when. And so many times, folks, we get a little bit of righteousness in our hearts and we feel like, well, I'm doing this and they're not doing that. One of my dearest friends who's passed from this earth now, he was such a servant of God, and he would get so on fire for God, and he would serve and he would get involved and he would do all those things, and it would last about a year every time, and then he would get disgusted by the fact that nobody else was doing anything. And he didn't know what they were doing or anything like that, but they weren't doing as much as he was. And he would get judgmental against other people, and it would drive him away from ministry. And so many times we want everybody to think like us and act like us, and we don't. We're not going to think the same way. We're not going to act the same way, and we're not always going to serve the same thing. Well, it's wrong to judge others when you draw conclusions based on outward appearances. It says, stop judging by mere appearances and make right judgments. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 24. We just project, most of us project what we want people to see in our lives. I think Facebook has been one of the biggest detriments to our society in some time. And if you're on Facebook, I'm not saying get off Facebook. I'm just saying that I think it's bad because people project on Facebook that everything is happy and everything is good. And I've yet to understand this, but when people take pictures of their food and put it on Facebook, I don't understand that. Maybe it's look what I'm eating and you're not. I don't know, but I've seen it happen. And then there's this thing called the selfie where you pose. And you hold the camera at the right angle and you look at it at the right angle and you take that picture and then you look at it and you delete it if it's not what you want, but you get that pose just right because you're projecting what you want other people to see. And a lot of times we project onto other people what we think we need to see out of them. And we need to quit judging people by their outward appearances. I remember a young man that came into the church one day back when I was at Jacksonville Beach. He was a homeless man that I had met on the street, and I invited him to come to church. And I remember him coming to church, and everybody went the opposite direction of him. Now, I know part of it was because of the way the guy smelled. I know that for a fact. But a part of it was, is they could tell he was homeless, and they didn't want to have anything to do with him. These are the same people that may have thrown money at him on the side of the road when he was panhandling, but they never took time to get to know this young man. And I remember one of the members coming up to me and saying to me, "I am so glad that you reached out to him when nobody else would." And we judge people on their appearances. The other reason we shouldn't judge people, or the reasons why we should not be judging people, is before you know the facts. Does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him or finding out what he's doing? I know this firsthand. Several years ago, I worked for a finance company, and they did high-risk loans. And most of you don't even know what that is all about, but I worked for them. They had high interest rates, and they did high-risk loans. And one of my jobs at this company was to repossess cars. And it was not a fun job. Well, now it wouldn't be a fun job. Back then, I thought it was exciting because I had to go and find a car, and then I had to call a wrecker and get it pulled and all that kind of stuff. Well, this one particular manager made a loan to a young lady who turned out to be a stripper at a nightclub. And I was sent out to find the car and repossess it. Well, I drove into the parking lot of the strip club, looked around, couldn't find the car, and I drove out, and it could have never happened any other way. But at the same time I was driving out, one of the members of the church saw me driving out of the strip club. And Lucy, you got some explaining to do. And thankfully, this member came to me and said, "Neil, I saw something, and I need you to clarify what it is, but I believe I saw you falling out, driving out of the strip club over here, and I just want to make sure what's going on there. Do you have a problem?" and so forth. And I said, "Well, I have lots of problems, but that's not one of them." All right, so you got to know the facts. Number five, external observances. We tend to judge people on the way they dress. We tend to judge people on the way they wear their makeup or they don't wear their makeup. We tend to judge people in a lot of different areas. And the reason why we judge people in all of these different areas is because we project to them what we think they ought to be. But in the Bible, there was this other area that people were judging others of, and that was the observances of different holidays and different things. You see, you had a lot of people who were Gentile Christians who were not partaking of Passover ceremonies and things that the Jewish people had done all their life, and they were continuing to do it. And what was happening here is they were making judgment on those things. And the only way that I can even explain that in today's world is, you know, some people pass judgment because your family trick-or-treats. Some people pass judgment because you read Harry Potter. Some people pass judgment because you celebrate Christmas. You know, I remember when I was younger and hearing of a Christian who had a nativity scene in front of their house, and how upsetting that was. Well, let me explain this to you. There is nothing in the Bible that says you cannot have a nativity scene in front of your house. There is nothing in the Bible that says you can't celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, I know that we do not know when he was born, but I'm here to tell you that if you want to celebrate that on December 25th or you want to celebrate it on April 1st, I don't care. But we should celebrate that Christ came into this world. And we need to understand that we all celebrate it differently. I had a grandmother that refused to celebrate Christmas. She wouldn't buy us gifts. She didn't want to have any part of it. But every year she came down and had Christmas dinner with us and expected gifts from us. Oh, the hypocrisy of that. And me being a kid, I knew something wasn't right then. But my point being is there's going to be things that people do that are not going to be like what you do, and you don't need to be judging them. I have friends who have rooms in their house. They call it their prayer closet. And they go in their closet and they pray and they have all scriptures up on there. That's not something that Neil Farr does, but it's not something that I need to judge. And you don't need to judge. People do things differently. As long as it's not unscriptural, let it go. Number six, when it causes you to speak evil of another Christian. James 4:14, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. So much of what we do is we try to judge others, and we do it in a way that is just not Christ-like. And we'll talk badly about the elders, and we'll talk badly about the preacher. Not this preacher. I'm talking about other preachers. You've never said anything bad about me. But I know in other churches, the main menu on Sunday afternoon is roasting the preacher. And I know in some places it's just that way. And I'm so thankful that we have unity here and we don't have that. But I'm here to tell you, the preacher here is human. He makes mistakes. The elders, oh my goodness, do they make mistakes. They're human. I love those guys, but they're human. We all are going to mess up at some times, but when we start speaking evil of others that are members of the body, what we do is we hurt the body of Christ and we tarnish the reputation of the church with the world. And we need to remember that we are a people of love, and it says they will know we are Christians by our love, not by our correction, and not by our judgment, and not by our slander. Number seven, when we are trying to judge others' motives. I can tell you the knowledge you have of each other sometimes makes you want to judge each other's motives and say they did that on purpose. And a lot of times people just do things because they don't know any better. 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's heart. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Finally, how do I break the habit of judging others? And I want to reiterate something I said to Jason last night. When I'm preaching on Sunday morning, I'm going to tell you that 90% of what I'm preaching to myself. Because I struggle with every area of life just like you. I struggle sometimes being nice to people. That may have been you at one time, I'm sorry. I struggle sometimes with temptation, just like you. I struggle sometimes being the right person when I need to be the right person. And how do you overcome this? That is the key to being a Christian. I can tell you all the things that we do wrong, but we have an answer in the Bible on how to overcome this kind of attitude. And I think one of the reasons why we can't be close to people, one of the reasons why we keep our distance from one another, is because we are so judgmental and we are thinking everybody else is. I'm here to tell you my confidence in approaching people and talking to people is not that they won't judge me, it's because I won't judge them. And we need to have that kind of attitude, but how do we get there? Well, I've got three things. Number one, remember I'll be judged by the same standard I use to judge others. Matthew 7:1-2, do not judge or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Wow. The last thing I want to do is to give God a reason to judge me more harshly. I know I have sinned. I know I have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us in here have. And it may be that I haven't had your sin in my life, but I've had plenty others. And I got to tell you, it's disturbing to me when Christians don't think about the fact that when they are judging others, when they are writing things on bathroom walls about other people, they don't realize they are placing judgment on themselves. Number two, I'm accountable to God. I am accountable to God. A lot of times we think, well, I'm accountable to the elders, or I'm accountable to the preacher, or I'm accountable to my spouse, but I'm here to tell you, you are accountable to God. Romans chapter 14, 12 and 13 says, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. I constantly am talking with people, and I know they're making mistakes. I know that what they're doing, the path they're heading down, is not the right path. I can encourage or I can judge. I can love or I can judge. I can be understanding or I can judge. And my point here today is that we need to be more loving towards those who are in sin, who are going down the wrong path, or who have been in sin than any other time. And number three, I need to remember how merciful God has been to me. James chapter 2 and verse 13, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The reason why I am so passionate about this is because we have a tendency every day to judge one another. We judge the sermon, we judge the song leader. Jason, you've never been judged, have you? No, not once. I can tell you the elders get judged. I know, I've been in a room with them when they were talking about being judged. I know I get judged. It's not something that I am oblivious to. I know the deacons get judged. And it all comes about because we spend more time judging than we do loving, and we forget the mercies that God has given us. And we need to remember those mercies. We sing an invitation song each week, and we sing that invitation song because we want you to have a better relationship with God when you leave here than when you came in. And that relationship with God is probably one of the most important things that you can do today, is make sure that you're in the right place. You need to examine yourself, as we did during communion, and see what it is. See where your heart is with your brothers and sisters, and see where your heart is with God. Because as I've told you before, the end of your days, you're going to be judged on your relationship with God and your relationship with others. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, you can do it as we stand and sing.